We are reading from the writings of Bala Sulam, the general preface. We are in item number 8. Now we shall explain the issue of the striking and the beating that occurred between the surrounding light and the inner light due to their tying in one vessel. That the nature of the inner light is to purify the vessel in which it is clothed. Hence, since in the 10 sefirot of the peh of Ak, the inner light and the surrounding light were tied in a single vessel of Malchut, the inner light was purifying the vessel of Malchut degree by degree. This is the reason for the departure of the 10 sefirot of the peh, called the world of Akudim. The thing is that has already been explained in items 6 and 4, that the 10 sefirot of reflected light are of opposite value of the 10 sefirot of direct light. In the 10 sefirot of direct light, the degrees rise one above the other according to the purity up to their root, which is the purest among them. But in the 10 sefirot of reflected light, the degrees rise one above the other according to their coarseness, up to the root, which is the thickest among them. This is phase 4, and Malchut that became Keter again, while phase 3 is Chochmah, and phase 2 is Binah, and phase 1 is Zeranpin, and Keter is considered Malchut. In the beginning, the screen was purified by one degree. This means that the thick form of light of phase 4 was purified and reacquired the form of coarseness of phase 3. This is considered that the light of Malchut departed from its place and rose to the vessel of Zeranpin. Since then too, the direct light expanded from Ein Sof onto the screen, and the detaining force controlled the screen until a coupling by striking was made, and the 10 sefirot of reflected light emerged from the screen of phase 3. However, they are no longer at the level of Keter as they were initially, but are at the level of Chochmah. This is because the coarseness of the phase of Zeranpin and the phase 3 of direct light has the value of Chochmah in reflected light. It turns out that the screen did not return to being Keter due to the reflected light, but returned to being Chochmah. Afterward, it purified further and received the purification of the second phase, which is Binah. There too, the direct light expanded to it up to the coupling by striking and raising of reflected light. Though the level of Binah, as the coarseness of phase 3 and phase 4 were lost, she lost the two sefirot of reflected light. Subsequently, it purified further and received the purification of phase 1, and the direct light from Ein Sof made it in it, and the reflected light rose, though at the level of Zeranpin, lacking the phase of Binah too. Then it refined even more up to the form of the root, which rose to the level of Ketel. At that time, there was no coarseness left in the screen. Hence, there was no more coupling by striking from the direct light on it. For this reason, the reflected light completely disappeared from the 10 Sefirot of Akudim. Thus it has been clarified that since the inner light is closed in the vessel of Malchut, it purifies it degree by degree, and along with its purification, the 10 Sefirot Kachab Zon of reflected light vanish too. This is so because during her rise to the phase of Keter, the screen loses all its power to raise reflected light. Thus, the 10 Sefirot of direct light also depart from it, since the direct light and the reflected light are interdependent and tied to one another.
Shilot.
Questions?
Ein.
None. Okay.
Ken.
Yes.
It's
written that since the surrounding light and inner light are tied in one vessel of Malchut, the inner light was purifying the light of Malchut.
Yes.
Can you explain it? What does it mean that the surrounding light and inner light, because they're tied, it causes the purification?
The reason the vessel of Malchut, which does not want to receive, becomes the reason for both the inner light and surrounding light, for all the lights in general.
What does it mean that it's the reason?
The reason,
should
I explain the reason? The fact that because she doesn't want to receive, she becomes a reason that it comes out of her and rises up.
What's the purpose of the refinement?
The purpose of the refinement is that the screen disappears.
And then
there's a turn. The direct light returns again in the surrounding light, and the coupling by striking, and so on and so forth, 9 times until the whole vessel is refined.
Thank you.
Ken.
Yes.
There is a question, because he uses the word for purification, purifies. So it becomes more clean, more thin, more weak. How can you understand this word purification?
Purification meaning refinement. It means that there was a bigger coarseness, a bigger difference between itself and the light, and it was lessened. This is called refinement. Okay. Yes.
We're speaking about the world of Akudim. Where was it created? Where did it come from?
The world of Akudim. It's the first world where everything is tied in one vessel, Malchut.
It's not Atik, the first world?
No.
Because it's not mentioned first. Suddenly there's a world of Akudim.
This is what it's called. It's not like it wasn't there before. It wasn't. There was no need to name it.
And where does it appear in the order?
It's the first.
Before Atik? Or am I confused?
Atik is a Parzuf of the world of Atzilut. The world of Akudim is the world of Adam Kadmon.
Oh, Adam Kadmon. Thank you.
More? Yes?
About the refinement, should we say that the light, the creator, the filling is felt left when it's refined, or it's felt differently? Because we say it's felt above coarseness, so it's if it's refined, so what does the vessel feel?
On what point of development are you talking about exactly?
Just about the refinement of the screen.
The screen is refined, meaning it rises from its lowest point to the top point. Yes. And?
We said that if it refines itself, so the coarseness is felt less, the difference between light and vessel is felt less.
Yes.
So how's the light felt? Its feeling disappears because there's no coarseness to feel it upon?
The light exits, it gradually leaves the vessel. Accordingly, the difference between the light and the vessel is not felt.
Is there a feeling of fulfillment?
Less and less.
So the state goes and disappears as if it wasn't there.
Yes.
So where did all this abundance go?
Into the surrounding light.
It returns to be surrounding?
Yes.
So when is there a final filling of everything? When is it felt constant, eternal light?
For the time being, we're not talking about that.
I understand, but it seems as if this process is temporary and then disappears, and there's no accumulation.
For the time being, there's no accumulation.
So what's the purpose?
The purpose is to maintain the screen so it gives exactly this dynamic that there will be a connection between the light and the vessel in all the states of the refinement.
The process has to be purposeful in some kind of way. So what's the purpose in each action, in the general everything?
To maintain, through the right dynamic, the connection between the light and the vessel.
So to develop the ability to sustain the state.
Yes.
This dynamics that holds between the light and vessel, that's the screen?
Yeah.
And the screens change?
Yeah.
What's the difference between screens?
Coarseness, refinement, hardness.
It sounds that the difference is just the way a person has to build it and overcome the screen.
Yes.
It's in that.
Yeah.
Tov.
That's it? Okay. PT19.
Good morning, Rav, friends. He writes something very interesting, that because if the light, the direct light expands in 10 sefirot on the screen, and then the detaining force was in control until the coupling by striking. I wanted to ask, what is that detaining force? What is the detaining force?
The screen does not want to let the light spread or expand inside the vessel according to the nature of the light. The light simply wants to fill the vessel, fill the desire, satisfy it. The screen sets conditions that it is possible to receive the light within the will to receive only in order to bestow.
So, is there any connection? Is that the detaining force that can affect during our studies, or is it not connected?
The length of the what?
The time of studies. People are complaining, it takes a lot of time. And is that what can be detaining?
No.
So what is this detaining? What is it detaining?
The detaining is that the light doesn't let the screen doesn't let the light spread expand inside the vessel in the will to receive of the vessel until within the vessel there is the intention to bestow, which is similar to the light, which is the giver.
So it's not connected to man.
If a person is in it, it's connected to him. If he is not, then it's not.
So that's what I asked. They can detain our development if you don't do the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course it is.
So maybe that's detaining our work.
Undoubtedly, specifically this slows down the work, detains the work.
Поскольку внутренний свет тоже облачается в клималхут, он постепенно очищает его уровень за уровень.
It's written that because the inner light is clothed in the vessel of malchut, it refines it degree after degree. What is that vessel of malchut he's talking about?
לא מבין מה שהוא שואל.
I don't understand what he's asking.
Тут написано, что внутренний свет облачается в клималхут.
He writes that the inner light is clothed in the vessel of malchut.
Что значит, что внутренний свет облачается в клималхут? Вроде она же все время в сокращении находится.
What does it mean that the inner light is clothed in the vessel of malchut? Because the malchut is restricted.
Эпо за катув. Они ло.
Where is it written? I'm not getting it.
Восьмого пункта. Перед началом девятого, последний абзац.
No.
The end of item 8, the last paragraph.
Да.
Шикиван шиор пени милобаш бекли малхут, лахен у олех у мизакер.
Thus it has been clarified that since the inner light is clothed in the vessel of malchut, it purifies it degree by degree, and along with its refinement, the tens field kachav zone of reflected light vanished too. This is so because during the rise to the ketel, the screen loses its power to raise reflected light. Thus the tens field of direct light also depart from it, since the direct light and reflected light are interdependent and tied to one another. What's the question?
Что это за клималхут, о котором идет речь здесь? Куда облачается внутренний свет?
What vessel of malchut is he talking about here?
Malchut in the vessel, in one of the ten sefirot. It's the general vessel, the big vessel, in which there is the big will to receive.
А мы просто учили, что, может, я неправильно понял, что Малхут не принимает.
We just learned, maybe you didn't understand, that Малхут never receives the light, but only in the first nine.
This is something else. Yes.
Тов, יש לנו עכשיו.
Okay, now we have Belshev, all right.
Good
morning, Rav. World 10, with your permission, he writes that while the screen was refining itself, when it rose to Keter, the screen lost its powers to raise reflected light. Why does he call it a power of raising reflected light, this process?
Because it's a special power that exists in the screen that raises reflected light, which becomes a vessel for the direct light.
Merkaz 1.
Merkaz 1.
Lo shomim.
We can't hear you.
Hello, Merkaz 1.
Hello, Merkaz 1.
Lo shomim.
No sound. Okay. Tel Aviv 3.
How can the vessel hold constant faith if its nature is to refine itself?
This is really a question. We have to be in a constant effort.
Unity 3.
Unity 3.
Unity 3. No?
А что удерживает экраны в динамике? А это свет или клей?
What holds the screen motionless, the light or the vessel? And this tendency of refinement.
There are two contradictory forces here. On the one hand, there is Malchut, the will to receive, which becomes refined. On the other hand, there's a light that pushes, presses. USA Northeast.
The cycle of refinement goes on until complete equivalence of form is reached, and we call that Maltikum.
Again.
Yes.
Kiev 3.
Здравствуйте. Скажите, пожалуйста, в чем разница между АК и Битуш?
What's the difference between a beating and a striking?
Again?
What's the difference between Haka'a and Bitush, beating and striking?
Beating and Bitush, it's a clash. These are two things that happen in the screen. When the screen has some level of coarseness and the light reaches it, so it clashes with the screen, and then the screen becomes refined. The clash, you could say it's the same thing. Normally, sometimes the words are even, they're interchangeable. But it's when two contradictory things clash. And the beating or striking is when they also clash with one another, but it's when they don't disappear. They only strike one another. Tudi.
Tamshich.
Otet.
Ken? Otet.
Item 9.
Number 9. To explain this, I shall first explain the state of the Sfirot with a picture of the Ta'am of Segol, like this. That is, the Keter is on top, below it, on the right, is Chochmah, and at its left, Binah. We need to understand this. For God forbid, we should understand it as a depiction of places that tangible eye perceives. Also, the matter of face-to-face and back-to-back that apply in the ten sefirot. God forbid there should be a back and a front here. The thing is, it has already been explained in the four phases of direct light that expand from Ein Sof, which is Keter. That expansion of Keter is called Chochmah. Also, it thickens, its coarseness increases as it expands, meaning the intensification of the desire to extend abundance more than the measure of its expansion. Hence, it is regarded as two phases or two discernment. Phase one is the whole of the light that expands from Ein Sof to that emanated. This is called Chochmah. The second phase is the increasing coarseness given by the intensification of the desire to extend new abundance. This is called Binah. For this reason, There are three discernments in the Sfira of Binah. The first discernment is her own structure, which is part of Chokhmah itself. The second discernment is the light that thickened in her through the intensification to extend new abundance from Keter. The third discernment is the essence of the abundance that she draws from Keter, called the light of Chassadim, or the light of mercy, which is much lower than the light of Chokhmah that extends directly from the emanator. But the light of Binah that she draws from Keter is associated by her initial intensification, which was thickened for it. And when Binah draws the light of Chassadim from Keter, she does not draw the light of Chokhmah from the Sfira of Chokhmah. Hence, she is considered to be back-to-back with Chokhmah. It turns out that the light of Chokhmah, which is the light of self in the general ten Sfirot of that emanated, ceases from it. For Binah has turned her face to draw the light of mercy from Keter. Yet, when phase 4 appears, and the light and the ten sfirot of reflected light that extend from her considered even more light of mercy than the light of mercy in Binah, Binah no longer needs to draw the light of mercy from Keter, since she receives abundantly from the reflected light of the Malchut. Hence, she turns her face back to Chokhmah and draws the light of Chokhmah once more. At that time, the light of Chokhmah too is drawn abundantly in the general ten sfirot in that emanated. This is called face-to-face of Chokhmah and Binah, which they gained through the reflected light that rises from the Malchut.
Omnam miterem agalut igalut akli malchut.
However, prior to the revealing of the light of the vessel of Malchut, Binah turned her face to Keter, which is the state of the Tam Segolta, where Binah is below Keter like Chokhmah, but Chokhmah draws the light of self from Keter, and Binah draws the light of Chassadim, the light of mercy, from Keter. And since the light of self is the collective light in the emanated, Chokhmah is considered light, and the light of Chassadim is considered left, as it is associated with Gvura.
Meshutaf b'Gvura. V'hine nitba'er asher or ha'atzmut eno yachol leitpashet
b'klalut. We have explained that the light of Atzmut cannot spread in the whole of the ten sfirot of direct light, since Bina is back to back with it, except during a coupling by striking in the screen in the vessel of Malchut. At that time, Bina no longer needs the light of Chassadim and returns to being face to face with Chokhmah. It turns out that the ten sfirot of reflected light depart from the world of Akudim, the light of Atzmut, of the self, of the ten sfirot of direct light, depart along with it. This is because the light of Chokhmah and the light of and the reflected light are interdependent, and only the posterior of Bina remained there in the world of Akudim, meaning light of Chassadim and her Gvura. Now you will understand the Ari's words we brought above, that the nature of the inner light is to purify, to refine the vessel in which it is clothed. Since it revolves around the light of Chokhmah that clothes in the internality of the emanated through the Bina that returns to being face to face with it. Thus, the posterior of Bina are refined, and since the posterior of Bina, which is phase two, is the root of phase four, since the root is refined, the branch, phase four, is refined along with it.
Questions? I understand that the language here is very distant, very different than what we're used to. Yes.
There are actually many questions. He explains about three discernments in Bina in this item. The first is that she is born from Chokhmah, right?
Yes.
Second, what does it mean, light that was made coarseness in it, meaning she intensified to extend new light from Keter?
She doesn't want the same thing as she did when she was born. She doesn't want the light of Chokhmah, but she's full of mercy, chasadim, and feels good by it.
So what is this new abundance? Why is it a new abundance if all she wants is to bestow?
Because still, it's something that fills her, so it's called abundance.
How should we understand that when she asks to draw direct light of mercy, chasadim directly from Keter? We know that each sphira draws from its previous sphira. Here she is trying to draw from Keter.
No, she receives from Keter, but through Chokhmah, and Chokhmah just passes it on. It's light that just passes through it.
Why is it considered that by this she turns back to back with Chokhmah?
Because she doesn't want to receive the light of Chokhmah, which is the essence of the light of Chokhmah. She wants to receive the light of Binah, the light of mercy.
And this is called being back to back, that state?
Yes.
And the light of the self that he mentions here is light of Chokhmah?
Yes.
Thank you.
Bar HaSulam
writes, we should understand this, but God forbid that we should depict it as depictions that the corporealizes. Under the influence of the lesson, I take things to those diagrams you used to do before, so many diagrams, so I take it there. Is this correct?
I used to do all those diagrams, drawings, right. I thought that there are people that like seeing these things in front of them in a visual way. Afterwards, I stopped.
Should we now ignore the diagrams, try to erase them, or...
No. Why? You can see them. The drawings are correct. Just still, it's... There are different periods that... There's periods where the students are yearning more to see those diagrams, and there's times that they're yearning for more verbal explanation. Okay.
Again.
What does it mean that chasadim is left in Bina and Chokhmah is right?
The main part of the partsuf, or in the sphira, is called the right. And the secondary is called the left. It's not so important here.
And when he says, when he talks about Bina being in a state of posterior, he repeats it all the time. So Does he mean that the reflected light is Bina in posterior or what?
Chochma and Bina, they're in such a way, and one towards the other.
No. No te la sé.
I'll try.
Afterwards, he describes a different situation, if I understand correctly. He says that Chokhmah and Bina are both directly together toward Keter. What is that state?
That Chokhmah and Bina towards Keter are results. And the Keter is the route towards them, also to Chokhmah and also to Bina.
When does it happen and what does it mean?
So we don't learn that yet. That's what he writes. But it wasn't clarified yet.
In the whole process, he describes that in the reflected light, Bina receives the light of mercy in the opposite direction. She receives the malchut. She now receives this quality from the reflected light, right, of chasadim, and then she returns to being face to face with chokhmah. Can you explain that?
No, wait, soon. Soon, yes,
Olin. It is written in the third discernment in Bina, the light of Chassadim is much lower than the light of Chokhmah. Why?
Yeah. Because the light of Chokhmah is the main part of creation. And the light of Chassadim, of mercy, is just a result of the vessel.
Exactly because of it, it should be higher. It's a result of the vessel, of annulment.
So what?
In what is the lowliness of the light of mercy before the light of Chokhmah?
By not coming to us from Keter, that from the Keter the light of Chokhmah comes, and the light of Chassadim comes to us from the vessel, that overcomes its nature, and in that way the light of Chassadim is created.
Mitkadem, lo?
Yes. That's advanced, no?
No. It's much lower than the light of Chokhmah. That's correcting creation. This is the purpose of creation. It's a huge difference between them.
I understand
there's a difference, but why is it lowliness?
Because the light of Chokhmah is the light of creation itself. It's the light of the face. And the light of Chassadim is the light of the correction of creation.
Isn't correction something respectable?
Of course, it's great, but it's not the light of Chokhmah. What isn't clear? What do you got?
To continue on, we see that Malchut, that raised reflected light, drew Chassadim. And what she did, by that, she caused light of Chokhmah to expand, to be face-to-face with Bina. This is what he writes, that when Chokhmah makes an effort, when Malchut makes an effort with a reflected light to have light of Chassadim in the world, so to speak, from Nikudim, it does open the conduit of...
What world of Nikudim? What are you talking about?
Sorry, Olam HaKudim, the world of HaKudim. So there, Malchut raised reflected light and drew light of Chassadim, big light of Chassadim, and it caused Bina to move face to face with Chokhmah.
So
I want to continue on the light of chasadim. When Malchut does it, it's something respectable because it does open the light.
I'm not saying it's not respected. It's the light of correcting creation and not of the purpose of creation.
But when Malchut does it, the light of the purpose of creation does open.
I don't understand what opens means.
If Bina returns to being face to face with Chokhmah, it's as if the light of Chokhmah can expand because now it's face to face, thanks to Malchut, who raised reflected light, light of Chasadim.
What place are you talking about?
In the item we read, he says, about the world of Akudim.
Akudim, yeah.
So he says, Malchut raised reflected light into light of Chasadim, sufficient for Bina to turn face to face with Chokhmah.
Let's say so.
So when she does it, that's what I want to focus on. When Malchut does what he just described, so the light of the purpose of creation, does it spread? Does the light of Chokhmah spread in the vessel?
Yes.
So it's as if when Malchut does this act of light of Chasadim, it's the most important thing from her perspective.
Yes, of course.
She doesn't need more than that because by this everything opens.
Yeah, because the light of mercy is the main part of correcting creation. Yeah.
Раф, вот тут Бальсулам пишет, что бина связана и с Хохмой, и с Кетером.
Bala Sulam writes here that Bina is connected to both Chokhmah and Keter. Is it correct that she receives from Chokhmah the purpose of creation and from Keter similarity to the Creator?
Такое смешанное, более правильное в ее понимании вот за
Question. So then she builds Zad of Bina and Zeranpin, what's the right connection?
Tov. Kadima.
Namshich leotet, lirot yud, o navo lechalek...
Item 10 or next part?
Oh, what do we have?
We have a part about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or do we continue with the general preface?
Let's go to Kippur.